Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your girl, Allie Cat, with the Shine Love Podcast, here to present you with Adinkra Dance, the dance company that educates you while giving you culture and addressing social issues. But more importantly, they celebrate Blackness around the world. So if you are stopping by the Atlanta area, be sure to check them out. You can follow them at Adinkra Dance on Instagram, A-D-I-N-K-R-A. Dance. And you can check out their website at adinkradance.org. All right, peace.
Wait.
It's too late. Y'all, what's up, family? It's your boy, the fisherman. That's 2 R's here with my lovely woman. What's up, Alex? Talk soon.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Hold on. I really want to try this wine because I've been playing with it in my hand for some time now.
Wait a second.
I'm away.
All right, I didn't even get my A-L-L-E-E-Y. All right.
Go ahead and introduce
yourself.
Dang.
Yeah. So it's Alley Cat. A-L-L-E-E-Y_KATT. Yeah.
So real quick, man, you know how we always kick it off. What's like one piece of gratitude you got for this week?
I don't know why it's so hard for me to answer something. How about you go first?
All right, cool. One piece of gratitude, man. Happy belated birthday to my boy Chooks. Man, had an awesome time just to be able to fellowship. I know during like Corona has been a little tough to kind of like hang out, but we was able to like have clean, safe fun. We all got tested before we went. But now we just, I was just so happy to celebrate with him and see all the guys. And that was really dope.
Yeah. That was fun.
And have you as my date. He was like the best part.
Okay. You know, maybe that was my, I think that was my highlight too. Yeah. Like I dressed up and I got cute and I'll never do that. But I said like in 2021, I'm gonna start doing it more.
You know, let's talk about it. No, because I just want people to know, like, so we had just talked about, I feel like often we like go out in spaces and we kind of like dumb our look or dumb ourselves down to kind of fit the space. And we're not doing that no more in 2021. We're not doing it no more. I'm coming. I'm sorry it's your birthday, but I have to be fly.
You about to...
I'm sorry.
I'll do people on their birthday.
I'm sorry that I'm coming over for lunch, but I have to be fly. I'm not.
Nobody invite Hassan anywhere.
Don't invite him nowhere.
Cause he about to.
I'm gonna have fun on your birthday. I'm gonna have fun.
I'll fun you. I'll
fun you. I'll dress you. I'll be the one get lit. Nah, that's the hater friend. Hater friend. You never want to be that guy.
Nah. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You just gotta look good and not try to, you know, like when you see like you have a fire fail, you like you just look fire, they be like, nah
I don't want to hurt him. You be scared. You be scared of your power, what you possess. Come on. All right, awesome, man. Yo, Alex, I'm just so excited to kind of get together with you and talk about another book. And, you know, it's our Black History Month edition. So, of course, all our authors are always going to be Black authors. Come on. But, and so one of the authors that we're talking about this week is Octavia Butler. But first, before we even jump into the book, let's go ahead and preview the wine.
All right. I picked out the wine, guys.
We could tell.
I didn't pick it out, but look at that, right? Well, I wish I could see, you know.
So, as you could tell, she clearly only picked it for the decor. This is called Altered Dimension. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay, I'm sorry. Pause.
Talk about
the wine goes well with the book.
Oh.
Come on. Come on. I'm sorry.
It do. I didn't even think that's tough.
I feel like it does. Nah, in a way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Let's go ahead and toast it up. So many more blessings. Hey. Ooh, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It is not bad, just like this book.
All right. I like it.
It was good.
I expected like a bitterness at the end, but I didn't. It's smooth.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like super sweet, but it's not super dry either. It's actually like really good.
You make fun of me for that. It's semi-sweet. Yeah. I'll never forget. Insert.
But it's not semi-sweet. This one isn't semi. This is not what you would consider semi-sweet.
What?
It's not. It's dry, but it's not. It's a dry wine. All right, look. Somebody please take it. Leave it in the comments. Let me know what you think about this wine because it's...
Please. Gotta swish it around.
That's how you supposed to
really taste it. Yeah, I'm
trying to tell you.
When you professional.
Sommelier, don't.
I'm excited for you.
All right.
I'm trying to be a stay-at-home.
Stay-at-home mom. I'm trying to be a stay-at-home dad, girl. I can't afford. It's like, nah, all right. Look, let's jump into the book, man. Mm-hmm. So, Parable of the Sower, real quick. I'm not sure if you knew this, but... it's actually like stems back from a religious thing in the Bible where the parable of the sower is about like four seeds or four groups of seeds. And like one gets thrown by the wayside, one is in fertile land and stuff like that. And basically just speaks to like the people who are able to walk with God and how God puts people in adverse situations. And the hope is that they can all find their way to his grace. Now, totally paraphrase the entire thing, like you know I do, but
yeah,
that is kind of like...
I never knew that.
Yeah,
so,
it's kind of like the biblical context of it. But I want to hop into my girl, Tavia Butler. So she wrote this amazing book that really kind of just takes us to another world, another dimension of how we could look at... America really takes certain things and really highlights it. The way I like to think of it is like this book was kind of like the zombie apocalypse almost, right?
Yeah.
And when I think about the way we use drugs, right? When I think about the way just how we interact with the unnatural. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
How we interact with the unnatural laws of order really kind of forces us to be almost zombie-like.
Yeah.
And so
okay.
I felt like that came alive a lot in this book. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched this movie, The Handmaid's Tale, I feel like that kind of coincides with this like alternate America and how, and just plays it out.
Yeah. Kind of like, I like what you said, like a post-apocalyptic. Something happens in society and it takes it a whole turn 360.
Boom.
And now we're in like a different world. Boom. Where like shit is completely different.
So real quick, I like was going through your notes and you highlighted something. And so just to give you some context about the book, it stems from the main character is basically is writing like a diary. And so every chapter is like a date of basically like what happens or plays back what happens in her diary. Right. And one of the things that makes this character very unique is that she's an empath. And it's the way it's told is almost like, if this empath watches death, they almost die within themselves, right? And so I just want to give that context before we kind of share your quote, like what you underline. And I want to kind of like step into a little bit of like what resonated with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I underlined, I can't remember exactly word for word. Oh, you want to, come on, reference.
I'm going to find it. I just saw it.
Okay. Oh, he pointed out for me too. Okay. All right. It says, if hyperempathy syndrome were a more common complaint. People couldn't do such things. They could kill if they had to and bear the pain of it or be destroyed by it. But if everyone could feel everyone else's pain, who would torture? Who would cause anyone unnecessary pain? And I don't know if that spoke to me because it's Black History Month.
Right on, right okay. on.
But it made me think of like when you feel something so deeply, yeah. like you would never want to wish that type of pain on anyone else. Mm. And the fact that it's like she doesn't have to go through it in order to empathize. Mm. It's just like, I feel it because, well, you know, in this, you know, she has like a syndrome.
Yeah.
Sorry, she has like a syndrome. But I think that like what she's saying is just, if you could just feel it, not necessarily go through it, but just feel it, you wouldn't be doing unnecessary things and cause unnecessary harm to folks. And I just, it resonated with me.
Not because I like, there's just so many ways I want to go in my mind on how to, like, I want this conversation to go. So I guess I'm going to just start here, right?
All right.
Why do you think that it's so hard for us to identify? Real quick, I want to give a shout out to ISO Boom Podcast. They doing some good stuff. And it was one episode I was listening to, and I was listening to the Big Bro Bari. And he was talking about, they were having a conversation about a young man that got capital punishment, and how somewhere in the conversation it had something to do with, do you have to go through what somebody else goes through in order to have empathy for them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know, like, why do you, I feel like there's a disconnect, right? There are people that just don't feel it. And the question always becomes, well, one, why don't they? And two, how do you even bridge that gap? Because if I'm going to lay it on you, I'm going to lay it on your dick.
That's big. That's big. And I don't even have like, yeah, I feel like I don't have the right answer. But I think that it kind of starts connecting all parts of yourself together.
Mm.
I think in the way we're raised and the way, you know, society brings us up is we're taught to think like all of these things are differently.
Mm.
Your mind is like, your mind is different. Oh, no, but your spirit is different. Oh, but your heart, that your emotions are different. They're like in different compartments of yourself instead of making the whole picture. And I think we're like the West, or I'm gonna say America because I'm American. We try to like, it's robotic almost in a way. It's not brought up with a sense of like well-being and like the welfare of the whole person. So it's like, why would I care about another, you know, like I mean, you know, we have people who do, but whatever. Not talking about those people.
You know what's crazy? I really feel like we're taught to think of everything in isolation.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an educator, for me personally, I hate that. I hate that form of education.
Yeah.
Because, yo, math is as much reading in English as it is science, as it is history, as it is art, as it is music. All these disciplines have a fundamental theme that they all possess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like earlier I was talking to my spirit today. I was talking to myself. That's a sophisticated way of saying it. I was talking to myself. I was talking to myself about like, so right now I'm teaching chemistry, right? I don't know a lick about chemistry, but what I can do with chemistry when it comes to balancing equations, I can relate that to math, right? And so A plus 8 equals 16. The reason why that works is because we know we have 16 on one side and 16 on another side. And the equal sign just basically means balance, right? Means equal. And I feel like even when I'm like teaching certain disciplines, or when I tell another science teacher this, right? It's often met with some type of pushback because it's not related to that key specific thought or idea. And I honestly feel like we, engineer ourselves to really think that everything happens here in a vacuum almost.
Yeah.
You feel me? So if technically I don't know what it's like to be a woman, right? But I can empathize what it might be like to be a woman just based on some trials and tribulations that I've been through.
Yeah.
Right? It may not have been to you as egregious, right? But to me, I feel like it could hurt all the same. It's like when you take a child's toy, and to you, you're like, it's just a toy. But to that child, like, you don't even know what's associated with that toy for that child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think when I asked you how to build empathy, I think we had to re-engineer ourselves to see how we're all connected.
Yeah. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful way to put that. And I just want to piggyback off of that thought because even if, like, you didn't go through anything similarly to me, it's like when you're so tapped into yourself, because we both have, like, masculine and feminine energy, I think that it's easier for us to, like, oh, I can see how this will hurt her. I can see how this will hurt feelings because, like, possessing and tapping into both energies, you realize, oh no, I have emotions.
Yeah.
I like things bother me, things affect me, and that doesn't make me less of, you know, whatever your gender. You want to go there?
Like, I mean,
it doesn't make you less than, but it just makes you like understand people better when you know yourself.
I might have asked a really weird question, and I'm only really asking this because it really is thought provoking. I don't want to bite my tongue. Do you think that people can, okay, I'm going to just say it. Do you think white people can truly feel empathy for Black people? Like, it, like, really understand, even if they, like, connected all the dots, whatever. Do you think that, like, sometimes, like, white people could almost truly understand what it's like being inside a Black body?
No, but the thing about it is, like, I don't want them to. I don't want them to, like, try to, like, get inside. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we went through something similarly, like, in my class, right? And so, like, she wasn't trying to, like, my professor is white, but she's not trying to, like, let me get into the mind of, like, Black people of the Black body. It's just, like, I know what pain is. I know what's right and what's wrong.
Right. So do you have to actually feel, I guess what I'm saying is, do we have to actually require that much empathy to the point where you feel what somebody else feels? Or do we just have to have the understanding of, like, oh, okay, that hurt you, so. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like those two different levels. Yeah, there's different levels. And to me, I think they warrant two different things. That's different,
that's
two different ways of, you know, interaction, right?
Yeah. That's so true. And that's so difficult. A part of me is like, yes. Like, I feel like, you know, maybe not to that degree where, like, if I cry, you cry. But, like, a level of empathy where it's, like, you can, you're just as, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know what I'm saying? Because I feel like let's say, if we was really having a conversation about, like, how I could feel empathy.
Yeah.
That you feel just, you because you're a woman.
Yeah.
In your mind, you're going to be like, nigga, no matter what you say, I can't truly empathize with it, right? Like, no matter how you cut it up, slice it up for me, I can never truly empathize with it. Just as you can never truly empathize with what it's like being a Black man. And I think the beauty in it, no, but look, the peak, because people are going to say, yes, the intersectionality, I understand. But I think it just bears the same point, right? That, like, to me, first and foremost, slight disclaimer. Please stop what's that joint called? The trauma wars, okay? So. Let's cut the trauma wars out. I'm not even trying to go there. But my point is just to say that I really don't need you to understand my trauma. I just need you to be there when I'm experiencing the pain.
Can you say more about that?
I don't need you to know, like you said, like, I don't need you to know what's going on in my mind. I don't need you to get inside the way I think. I just need you to hear me when I express. Mm-hmm. And I think if people had that,
okay,
there wouldn't be the necessity to feel the hurt. You know what I mean? It would just be like, all right, I understand you. I respect that. Mm-hmm. And what can I do to help?
Yeah.
Right. And if we just those are the two things we ask in a conversation, I feel like, yo, we can like progress so much further.
Dang.
I think I'm preaching right
now. No, but you know what? I agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah. Because Bob, I think we're talking about just respect.
Mm-hmm.
Just respecting how I feel in this moment and just, you know, be there.
Yeah.
You know? But then, like, I feel like that empathy, though, because depending on what the thing is, right? And let's say, like, I'm here for you, but it's not looking how you want it to look.
Ooh, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, I was like, now I think it's segue.
And don't even go there. Don't even go there.
Take a look.
All right, okay. I'm hold on to it.
Okay, boom. Let's put it in the parking lot.
Bow. All right. Question. So she had a lot of like God references or just parables, if you will, right? The book. You can answer this question. I'm gonna give you two questions, and you can answer whichever one. You can either tell me if you were to create a parable, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Or what was your favorite, like, what message did you get from the book?
Okay, yeah. If I create a parable,
you know, okay, not like a whole story, but just the idea of like I have one, but I want to.
No, go ahead, share. I'm interested.
All right, Pete. My parable is God is.
Oh, you can't just. Drop that.
That would be my parable. I to me that encompasses what I got from the book, and it encompasses what I believe is necessary for the advancement of mankind.
Oof.
I think God plays a role.
Yeah.
In advancement of mankind, right? Like, if I feel like, you know, God is this idea of perfection, which we naturally and unnaturally chase, right? So we always are chasing this idea of being like better,
yeah,
right? And how could you know better if you don't know God?
You know. You know, and I think God is also us. So when you say, you know, I guess that would be something like my parable. Like not God is us, but maybe something on the lines of that. Like uncovering ourselves. I think that's like my biggest tip right now. It's really just uncovering who you are to like invoke change, because my favorite, and I heard you reading it out loud, and I'm just going to read it really quickly because I think it's kind of combining both of what we're saying a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, this one. All that you touch, you change. All that you change changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but yes.
Yeah. I have the reference. Yeah. I think it's just.
And I think we kind of saying the same thing, right?
With
different words. But to me, the way I think about it is, I feel like even in our human mind, we still underestimate God, what mm-hmm. God is, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't necessarily think that God is like ultimately good, ultimately bad. I think it's all about your perception of how you view God. Some people think that God is a jealous God. You can get really, I ain't gonna go there. But what I am gonna say is, I genuinely believe that our minds can't even fathom beyond our perception of reality, right? Mm-hmm. But God is beyond that. And so to me, you follow me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I gave a look. Go ahead.
But to me, God is beyond that, mm-hmm. right? And so if there was one thing I got from this book, and while, you know, it's not a Bible or nothing, and I'm not even like an overly like religious person, but I do believe in spirit. Mm. Come on. I do believe in God. I believe, you know, that there is indeed a higher power. Mm-hmm. And so to me, God is that. Mm-hmm. God has to be that. God has to be what I've imagined, what I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And when you asked me the second question of what I got from the book, that's like on the line of what I got. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, like, this book is about imagining a different world, mm-hmm. and invoking change and like seeing beyond what's in your view.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of like the main character was saying. She's like, yo, I can see a better world. Mm. I can see something that's like better. Mm. And I don't know if this is correlated with the hyper empathy.
Mm. Just saying. Right. Okay.
But, she's like, yo, I have everything packed. I got everything ready.
Yeah.
She's like trying to tell, oh, I have a question for you, but I'm finished my thought. but like, she's trying to get people to understand, mm-hmm. you know, like, we have the power to change.
Well,
and then no one else like around her is like, what are you, like, girl, yeah. You're scaring us.
Yeah,
that's what it was, like, you're scaring me. And that leads me to my question.
Talk about it.
My question is, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever like kind of saw beyond you ever like saw beyond your perception, what everyone else saw, and they looked at you like you was crazy?
That happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time because I don't know why it happens to me, but I do know that I consider myself somebody who is imagining a world that has not come yet.
Yeah.
A person who lives in the future. Mm-hmm. And if you are like me, it's hard because people are only equipped to see what's right in front of them.
Yes. Yeah.
They're only like, that's all they're gonna tube of is what they see. I'm like, and you know, I guess the place where I understand why people might look at me that way is because I don't have the same tool belt that they have, mm-hmm. and I'm already thinking of another tool belt.
Yes.
That I don't already have. So so it looks like I'm operating from a place of lack.
Yeah. Ooh.
But in me, mentally, it's already been. It's yeah. already is. Mm-hmm. It already will be. Right? Like, mm-hmm. I already possess it. It just ain't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You haven't caught up.
It ain't caught up to where I'm at.
Yeah.
You feel me? And but I think one of the beautiful things about relationships like those, though, it does force you to also jump back into reality. And I think even in the book, right, she also had to be realistic about what she said, mm-hmm. right? the type of people that she was around, all these different things. She had to be a realist at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it helps because it's a balance.
That's true. That's very true. It's a balance. For all of the people who kind of see just what's in front of them, that's me. But the thing is that even though I don't think and operate in the future, I'm so super present. Mm.
No, I just did that because the time.
Okay. All right, let me just finish my last.
All right, finish your point.
I just wanted to, because you spoke to the people who think in the future. I just wanted to. It's not fair. that, you know, it's just like you have to be open though.
Yeah.
I had to open up myself and be like, you know what?
It's okay. It's all right. We're going to add this to the name. It's all right. I didn't want to rush you.
We do this all the time. Not all the time.
But I mean, that's just a testament because the conversation was
dope. Yes.
Yeah, the conversation was dope.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
y'all, thank y'all so much again for tuning in to Shine Love Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the convo. Hope you feel inspired to, you know, just pick up a book, read, learn something new. So far, what we talked about today, we talked about our gratitude. Our favorite, our wine is pretty good. Deafing Cop. Where we go next? We talked about the book. Empathy. We talked about empathy. Mm-hmm. All right. We talked about the connection of all things. And we just talked about, you know, God is. And what you say, God is change, right? Mm-hmm. And so I hope that you enjoyed the conversation. Please stay tuned for more. We will be back on Wednesday. We will be back soon. And yeah, man, thanks for rocking with us. Go ahead, pick it up. Yeah.
Just what the book looks like.
Yeah. Oh, and next week we're going Home Going by Yaa Jaycee. So. Gotta tune in for that.
Yes.
Gotta tune in for that. Oof. So thank you so much for rocking with us. And peace. Once again, it's the Fisherman rocking with Shine Love Podcast. And we got the lovely
Alley Cat.
No.
Two L's. Two E's.
Two underscores. And so enough. All right, y'all. Have a good one. Peace.